This is a Podcat Nation production. Hello, and welcome to Buff Wild, the podcast that brings out the monster in all of us, apparently. I am your host, Olivia, and I am joined this week by my pal, Nick.
Hey,
Nick. How's it going?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. You've been on before. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Another wild episode for you.
Yeah, absolutely. This one that like digs up childhood trauma.
Yeah, this one really stuck with
light
you.
Light trauma, I should say. It did scar me emotionally. This is one that I remember from being a kid and being like, okay, this is nightmare fuel.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And rewatching it, I was like, oh, I was absolutely right to be terrified.
100%. This was scary. I watched this for the first time a few months ago and was like, well, this is upsetting. And I think my brain was so shocked by what I was seeing that I kind of just like was numb to it. Whereas watching it, knowing what I was getting into, was like, this is not okay.
Not okay.
This was quite an episode. Should
it's
we just
a lot.
Get down to
it's
it?
Because
there's a lot
Let's
to talk
dive
about.
In.
So episode 6, The Pack.
The Pack.
I'm going to make a bold statement and say that this is maybe one of the most upsetting episodes of network television ever made. I'm going to put it on that top 10 list.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel very strongly about it.
All right.
It's fucked.
I'm following.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure I would make that assertion, but I get where you got there.
I'm trying to think of, like, I know there's other, definitely, like, very upsetting episodes of television, but on, like, the level that it hits in so many different spots, I'm like,
sure.
I can't think of much else that upset me in such a way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure I'm not alone in this, clearly, because, like...
It's a lot.
Yeah. We started at the zoo.
School
field trip.
Sunnyvale is not that big of a town, I assume.
No.
How do they have a friggin' zoo?
Right? I want to know what the like geographical standpoint of Sunnyvale is in terms of its like city span.
Yeah. It's very strange.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a big city, but also a tiny town. What, like, make up your mind. It's going through an identity crisis.
Exactly. I want a map of Sunnyvale.
Yes.
We're like Pawnee, Indiana. Parks and Rec was also a small town. But like they gave you an idea of like what the city outline was.
Right.
So like when you had things like the zoo and various other landscapes, you're like, yeah, sure, this checks out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? I think
I bet there's some nerd out there who's made one.
Oh, 100%. I would be surprised if there wasn't one at this point. I think I definitely went on one zoo field trip when I was a kid. And I think we had to like drive an hour and a half away because how common are zoos anymore? And this was around the same time.
Right.
Like,
right.
Yeah. But
sorry,
I also
I
feel
forgot
like...
I need to talk into the microphone.
But I also feel like the zoo field trip is so ubiquitous in TV.
Yeah.
I'm like, is this
I don't remember ever going.
Right. Because zoos are also terrible places.
Yeah. I loved them when I was a kid. I now like, I love the idea. Okay, I like zoos, but I don't like zoos. Like, from like a person who likes animals, who likes science and biology and stuff like that, I think they're fascinating.
Yes,
I get that they're not really good environments, though.
Yeah,
often
they're quite something.
It's complicated, but yeah.
Right, really like nailing that in. There's a shot very early of an elephant just like in a tiny contained space. You're like, this is
not great.
Bleak.
Poor guy.
Yeah. I would like to point out right away that Buffy is dressed like Daphne Blake from Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's in her like full...
In a little foreshadowing.
Exactly. She's
later roles.
Like character development for the only live action movie that has ever worked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Live action reinterpretation rather.
Right.
Right.
It was great.
Yeah.
That's
she's dressed
movie.
Like Daphne Blake to go walk around at the zoo, which is very funny to me.
Yeah.
She's got her full like 60s garb on like... You're walking in dirt, but okay. You do you.
You know.
Right?
Whatever makes you happy.
Exactly. Get it, girl. There's a pack of bullies just wandering around causing chaos.
Yeah. I wrote, these assholes.
These assholes. Yeah, wandering around, not even identifying, like, easy prey. They're just finding people who are alone, and they're like,
eh. Yeah. Led by Pinocchio from Once Upon a Time. Ian Bailey is Pinocchio in Once Upon a Time.
There's so many...
And he's, like, the leader of their little gang.
There's so many extra-type actors on the show that often look like people that I've just, like, stopped assuming that I know any of the actors, and every once in a while it surprises me.
Yeah. Well, I saw him, I was like, oh, he looks like Pinocchio. And then it said his name, and I was like, oh, okay, it's the same guy, yeah.
Outstanding.
Yeah. Named Kyle, I think, in the show.
I think so.
Which, like...
That's a bully name.
Yeah. I know literally one Kyle who is not a terrible person.
Oh, yeah. Right, I'm trying to think.
He's great. The rest are trash.
I think the feminine equivalent of the name is Megan. We're like, sure. I know a couple of nice Megans, but I'm like, what are you doing naming your child Megan?
But it's like the exception that makes the rule.
I just think we reference Community a lot on our various podcasts and Podcast Nation. I just think of Shirley being like, what are you doing naming your daughter Megan? Stocking up for a bit shortage? I'm like, it's all I think of now. I know so many nice Megans. I'm like, bit shortage.
Yeah.
Sorry, Megans. I really enjoy just like, the like no of their interaction with Buffy, though, where they're like, it's Buffy with all her friends, lol, she doesn't have friends, and she's like, okay.
I like that too. She's like, okay, bye, I guess. Right?
I really like the detail, though, of the fact that she's chewing gum because she's a tough kid, and she's like chewing on it in a way that would require you to spit it out in class because your teacher's like, I don't want to see that much of your tongue. She's
like, that's a 90s bully thing,
right?
It's the gum. We see that a lot.
Tough kid versus tough kid.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Buffy wins against this entire pack.
Of course, yeah.
Right?
As she does. And their clothes are like, I'm like, are they supposed to be cool kids? Because these are not cool kid clothes.
They seem like the burnout stoner kids that like hang out by the smoke pit.
Absolutely.
Got some energy. Did you have a smoke pit?
Well, we called it the druggy hallway.
Oh my God.
Because that's where all the kids who like to smoke and like use drugs and stuff all for some reason congregated in that hallway. That's where all their lockers were.
Oh, sure. Oh, no, we had a designated smoking area.
That's hilarious.
Because I grew up in a town that was run by a drug trade.
Oh, that's nice.
Right. You'd see students and teachers mingling together at the smoke pit. It was upsetting.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Public school is bleak.
Mine was also public school, but.
Right. I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah, so they get into a fight. I've just written Buffy's chewing gum because you don't fuck with Buffy.
Yeah.
They quickly disperse. Xander and Willow are really pumped because they saw zebras having sex.
Yeah, I just wrote zebras fucking.
Can I say fucking? Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you can. We love explicitives on the show. I've written the exact quote from Willow that was, it was like the Heimlich with stripes.
That's such a great line, too.
I've, like, fair warning, I've just written in a bunch of exact quotes from this episode because despite the fact that it's so horrible, the dialogue's excellent.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's, if it weren't so deeply upsetting, it would be an incredible episode of television, but they just take it a little too far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got some good stuff. I mean, it's a fun episode with a lot of extra.
Yeah, it's juicy.
Not so fun, but
it's one that I would maybe watch, like, I would probably skip over during a bunch of rewatches of Buffy, but then, like, every once in a while, I'd be like, I feel spicy. This hyena episode can't be that bad, right? And then I cry the whole time.
Sure.
Willow's just so stoked on the zoo, and it's very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Buffy's too
cool.
That
was me, by the way, as a teenager.
Just so stoked.
My friends and I, okay, so this was not in high school, but just after in university. My friends and I went on a trip to the States.
Okay.
And so it was a little road trip, and we ended up in Anaheim because we went to, what's that place called? Disneyland. And my friends were like, oh, let's go on this ride and this ride and this ride. And I'm like, I'm not a big rides guy. I'm like, I'll go on a couple of them.
Yeah.
And there's just like petrified tree stump. I'm like, guys. Geology. And I got super excited because there's a museum there, and it was such a trash, boring museum.
Oh, yeah. But you were delighted?
But I was delighted that they had one.
Oh, my God.
Such a loser.
I love it.
I was also really excited about the ragtime piano player.
Oh, yeah.
My friends are like, let's go to Space Mountain. I'm like, let's not.
Right?
Let's do these other nerdy things.
I also did a Disneyland trip when I was younger, And like have never been an outwardly enthusiastic person except for like a few things that I'm really, really stoked on. So I'm like, cool, rides. And the same thing, like this one weird thing that I'm going to fixate on for the whole trip.
So I'm fully with Willow here.
Oh, yeah. Willow knows what's up. She's found her niche. The bullies have found another kid who we, I think, identify as Lance.
Yeah, I wrote Lance. Oh, no, poor Lance.
He's a spineless. Bless you.
Gesundheit.
Lance is a spineless little nerd. We're like... Don't pick on people, but also like Lance fully almost gets thrown into an animal cage or something. Yeah. And the principal comes up and he's like, what's going on here? And he's like,
nothing. A couple times.
We were just clowning around. I'm like, they tried to kill you multiple times.
Yeah. Why are you standing up for them?
Right. They're not your friends.
I also wrote, like, he makes a joke about Lance is like at a family reunion because he's right next to the chimpanzees.
Oh, right.
And I'm like, these jokes are top tier. Right. Family reunion. That's genius. Love it.
They're like
the writing,
the wholesome brilliant. Jokes of mean jokes, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a lot to take in.
It's like now that would be your mom fucked gorilla or something. Like
right, it's always something
same
about,
premise
like,
but like
right, we like bestiality in our jokes now. They're a lot more wholesome in the 90s. Yeah. So Lance is now accepted into the pack for like a hot minute so they can fuck with him a little more, but they're like, oh, like, let's hang out, we're gonna go to the hyena house. And he's like, the hyena house is closed. And they're like, yeah, that's why it's fun.
Yeah, I wrote, are they popular or are they just bullies? Because it's hard to tell, are they supposed to be popular or are they just supposed to be mean?
I don't think they're popular, I think they're just mean,
because nothing they do indicates that they would be popular.
No, these are definitely the weird, just a bunch of mean burnout people. Kids who just happened to have some drive but didn't apply it to anything, since that they bullied kids. Just literally, they had no code for who they were picking on. It was just anybody.
There was no hierarchy. It was equal opportunity.
Exactly.
Harassment.
They're so terrible.
Then they pass by the greatest no entrance sign that just says positively no admittance.
I missed that somehow.
It's great. I was like, who writes a sign like that?
Oh, I feel like the set designers of Buffy just had the best.
They lived
time.
In another world.
100%. It was like all the cartoon creators in the 80s were like on a lot of drugs. It was like the siphoned version of that for the Buffy set. Where it's like not quite right, but we'll take it.
So
we get the there's also just like caution tape. I like that it's caution tape and not like fencing or anything. They're just like, don't do it. Bunch of kids who definitely love to do stuff they're not supposed to do.
That's gonna keep them out.
Right. Scooby gang sees some trespassing and Xander's like, I'll get it, we don't need the Slayer to like break their spines. I'll go handle these bullies. I'm like, Xander, you're prime bully material.
Absolutely.
They're going to eat you alive. Ooh, foreshadowing, kind of.
Sort of.
Buffy and Willow are like, should we help him? Obviously, he's so dumb. And they like try to go in, but they get caught by the creepy zoo employee who's like says something. He's like, are you illiterate or just stupid? Like, it's very, very like, obviously, like, don't go into a hyena house, it's closed, but it's like unnecessarily rude.
I wrote creepy zookeeper.
He's got weird vibes already.
Absolutely.
He kind of reminds me of like an evil Steve Zahn. I don't know if that's pretty much his name, but you know what I mean.
He's got a
vibe. The hyenas are quarantined because they came from Africa. Is the extent of the explanation we got.
Which, I mean, I think they do like quarantine animals for a certain amount of time.
Okay, I wasn't sure if that was real or just like a Buffy universe thing.
It seems to me that they do, especially if they're going to be in a habitat with others.
I guess. It's like how you can't bring like...
Yeah, because there's always a chance of like disease or whatever as like being a carrier of disease or whatever. I know they do that with even like plants that they bring into a new country.
Yeah, like introducing foreign... like species to a different country. That makes sense.
But they don't explain any of that. They're just like, we're quarantining these hyenas because they're from Africa. Okay.
That's all we get. But we get a lot of hyena lore immediately from this guy who's not playing it cool at all. He's like, I knew too much about these hyenas. He's like, they're quick to prey on the weak. Don't go in there, even if they call your name.
Which, okay, that's creepy.
Exactly. It's deeply upsetting. I have written down the exact, like, quote, tribe that they have referenced, and I did not get a chance to look up whether or not this is a...
Maasai tribe. Yeah. They do exist.
Okay.
Or the Maasai people.
I feel like
they're real.
probably had a negative reaction to this episode.
I feel like it wasn't terribly sensitively done.
No.
Just my assumption.
Yeah, watching I haven't looked into it, but Buffy right now, I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot how really deeply comically racist stuff from this era is, where they're like, oh my god, it's so funny, and you're like, you watch it 20 years later and you're like, this was quality television 20 years ago.
Yeah, and it was definitely horrifying now. Definitely of a time. I'm not saying it was ever appropriate. I don't think it was, but it was like certainly more common.
Yeah,
you definitely saw that kind of thing a lot more.
Oh yeah, we're like, literally anything from 20 years ago that's like prime TV, you watch it now and you're like, oh no, at least something.
Yeah, there's like an exoticism about it, and that's why it's like always like they always use the term tribe.
Yep.
And it's always like, yeah, it's always something like pseudo spiritual,
right,
that maybe has like a tinge of truth to it, but they make it into something weird and creepy and right,
like colonizer lens, and they're like, yeah, absolutely, let's make their spiritual values seem really weird and gross. Yeah.
I'm always very wary of anybody who's like super into quote unquote tribal anything.
Yep.
They're like very into this group, one group of people that they have nothing to do with otherwise.
Yeah,
it's a little weird.
Yeah,
especially when they like collect their items and things like that.
That's
like
red flag factory.
Red flag factory. Yeah.
Yep. It's not great. So this guy gives us a lot of context. Says that the Maasai people told him that the hyenas are capable of understanding human speech. They follow humans by day, learn their names, and then at night, once somebody's separated from the pack, they summon them and they eat them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cute.
Right? Super fun. Back to the idiot pack who's in the hyena house. Also, the animatronic hyena that they use.
Oh, amazing.
It's so good.
And it's huge.
Oh, it's huge.
Like, hyenas are not that big.
No. Also, this is like a well-fed hyena.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's like a specific special breed of hyena or something. Isn't
oh, yeah.
It?
Yeah. I think like, so.
Whatever that means.
Right.
No specification at all.
Exactly.
But it's giant. Well fed. Yes, exactly.
It's nonsense. They try to feed Lance to the hyenas because, of course, we knew that Lance wasn't going to have a good time with them. And Xander swoops in to save the day. And that's when everybody makes eye contact with the hyenas. And it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Spell ensues. There's green eyes to signify that something spooky happened. I've just written, not great, Bob.
Not great, Bob. And then Xander gives like a really creepy smile to camera. I'm like, is he possessed or is he just Xander?
I can't remember the actor's name who played Xander, but he has a lot of...
I call him Discount Matthew Perry. am I wrong, though?
Discount Matthew Perry has a lot of like really upsetting but like really good just mugging at the camera for this entire episode.
Yeah,
you're like, I feel uncomfortable every time he looks at me, but he's doing it so well and it's awful. So that happens. I don't know, Lance is free, everybody's in chaos. We go to the bronze. I think this is the first episode where like the cutscenes aren't as aggressive,
right,
because they've more or less solidified the core crew, the format, and they're like, yeah, you know where we are,
right?
There's no
Hellmouth
to get to. Buffy and Willow are at the bronze. We're talking about how Xander is late and he's like weird coming back from the zoo. Talk a little more about Willow's crush on Xander,
mm-hmm,
and how it's upsetting where like she consistently knows his blood pressure.
Yeah, I wrote, Willow, that's creepy.
Right? I'm like, why do you know that? That's not even a thing you could like, I don't know, like look at like a number somewhere that's like, you're like, hey Xander, it's time to take your blood pressure like every day, which I also don't know would be a thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
Right? They talk about boys some more.
Yeah, Buffy's got it for Angel.
Right? I've just written Angel? Horny? She describes him as a honey.
I was gonna say, he's a honey.
Yes.
In that way that nobody has ever talked.
Right? I think we should bring He's a Honey back. And by
absolutely,
He's a Honey, I mean bring it back, I mean we should make it happen, because I don't think it ever caught on.
Yeah, absolutely. We need to make it happen.
Of course. Xander enters and he's creepier than usual.
Yeah, which is saying something.
And he's like, real hungry. Buffy's having a croissant at the bronze.
Which, beloved, go to a bakery.
Right. I want to know, like, who is the bar manager at the Bronze? Who is the general manager? What is their food selection? Do they have a bakery on site? Do they bring things in? Because this is like more evidence that we have that it's a coffee shop, but it's also a club.
It makes no sense.
It's so confusing. It's a strange place. It's that a strange place. Love that fictionally exists. Xander describes himself. He's restless. And then he starts sniffing Buffy. He's like, you took a bath.
Creepy.
So creepy. Anybody sniffs you, just run.
Yeah. And then when he says that, you took a bath, she's like, yeah, I do most days.
Right. And he's like, ugh.
I do bathe.
Weird. The pack arrives and Xander does this head cock that is perfect of like, because his pack has arrived.
Yes.
And they've identified each other.
Pinocchio and his crew have arrived.
There's so much intense eye contact in this episode as well. And it's so awful and so great.
It's truly off-putting.
Like, yeah, it's such a well-acted episode for something that's so horrible.
I just wrote weird staring contest. Yeah.
Yes. Like, also my question, is Xander the alpha? Because it seems like maybe Xander is the
right?
alpha.
Right? It's hard to tell, but he seems to be.
Yeah. I guess there's slim pickings in this pack, so it checks out.
Yeah, it's like it's him or Pinocchio.
Exactly.
Blonde dude doesn't have the chops.
Right.
And they're not going to let a girl... Joss Whedon's not going to let a girl lead the pack.
Girls?
So.
Too busy thinking about... I tried to follow in the pack and I couldn't do it. I'm like, girl stuff, babies, lipstick. I don't know. Yeah. Seems like Xander's the alpha. And then we get Giles and Buffy training. I think this is the first training shot we got from them.
And Giles is like amazingly bad at it.
Oh yeah.
My dude, you just have to stand there and you'd be doing a better job.
Right. He's got his padding on. It's hilarious. And I think Buffy's just so worked up that he's like, I don't know what to do. And he's like, okay, I think we're done for today. And she's like, no, I have more energy to get out. And he's like, please, I don't. I just want to go home. And we got a pig mascot is on the loose, Herbert.
Yeah, and everybody's afraid of the pig for some reason.
Right. I think it's just because there's something running through the hallway that they're like, what is it? And Herbert's just running.
Yeah, it would be a little startling, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a tiny pig. That's not going to hurt nobody.
Exactly. Buffy grabs him because Buffy's not afraid of anything. Principal Flutie is like, he's mean, he's ready for action. She's like, no, he's just a cute pig.
I'm trying to pass it off as like this like razorback warthog.
Right. It's
literally a piglet with foam on its back.
Right, who looks like Clara.
Yeah.
Who looks like the Podcat Nation mascot, Clara. Also known as our cat. Very sweet. Xander doesn't understand geography, which, like, who does?
Yeah. Well, they're having...
Oh, not geography. Geometry. Geometry. There we go.
Both are hard. I wrote, like, that scene was, like, this is literally me in, like, math 30 pure in high school.
Oh, yeah.
I was, like, I have no idea what the fuck is going on.
Everybody failed math 11.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except for the rich kids with, like, tutors.
A tutor.
I've written down another piece of dialogue because it, like, made me really sad. Where it's like, they definitely tried to make this a joke. I was like, oh, there's a lot to this where he's like, what if I just like didn't do this? And Willow's like, no, you have to, because otherwise you'll fail school and et cetera, et cetera. But she like gets into it. She's like, you know, if you fail school, you'll be that guy who sweeps up at the pizza place and says, hey, kids, where's the cool parties this weekend? And I'm like, oh. Like, let's be clear, all workers work, but it's just, like, sad because it's, like, Xander clearly wanted something for his future, but that's actually very much where he ends up. And also adds into my question that I've had the last couple episodes of, like, I just kind of assume there's, like, an economic class divide in Sunnydale that we don't get into.
Yeah.
They hinted at a lot, but we don't get much of it. And you see more of Xander's home life and how it's, like, pretty bleak. But I don't, as far as I know, I don't think we get a lot of backstory for it. And I, like... I feel like Xander would have been a more interesting character if we had delved into that a little more.
Yeah.
To, like, see where this weird, sad incel behavior is coming from.
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
So that said that, I was like, oh, it's, like, very sad. But then the next thing I've written is, Xander's a little bitch. I don't remember what he was doing,
it's
but
true,
I know he's
though.
Being a little bitch.
Xander's a little bitch.
Right. You've got more of the principal who's like, you kids have no school spirit. Today it's all gangs and drugs and those movies on Showtime with the nudity. Not that I'd know.
I mean, like, people who get super into school spirit are weirdos.
Yeah.
And you want to avoid them, especially adults.
Yeah. adults were like, these are your best days of your life. And you're like, no, they're not.
Absolutely not.
They should be the worst days.
And thank God
they
weren't. They were terrible.
Yeah. It's the opposite. And it's fundamentally sad when people think otherwise.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of talk about school spirit. Xander passes them or something while Buffy's still holding this pig. Buffy holds this pig for a while.
For a while.
And this pig freaks the fuck out when Xander walks by.
The pig is psychic.
Yep. Animals know.
They know.
It's like when dogs bark at a tsunami coming. Like, this pig knew that nothing good was coming. So we have, like, a very strange scene where you know what I'm up to. It's raining. So the gym classes are canceled and it's dodgeball day.
I'm just like, why can't they have gym in the gym?
Right?
Do they, like, are all of their, like, phys ed classes outside?
Like, presumably. I'm assuming the teaching staff at Sunnydale is also like, there's no gym units. They're just like, gym, run laps just until the bell rings. Like, it's kind of what I interpret.
Because, I mean, this might be because I'm from, like, basically the tundra. But, like, most of our classes were inside.
Yeah. Right? Because you knew, like, there was, like, this, like, late spring to summer and then, like, half a month in September where you could have gym outside and it was too cold.
Yeah, the rest of the time it's 20 below.
Yeah. It's too much.
Nobody wants to be outside.
That's not cool. Also, it's very... to be clear, this is not me slut-shaming Buffy. But just having grown up in the public school system at the same time, I'm like, there's no way that they'd allow her to wear that tank top to gym. It was a spaghetti strap tank top and her bra was visible, which, you know, she'd get like detention for that and sent home because we love to sexualize children.
Yes.
Yeah. We love to punish them for our own weird shit. And that was most of what I took from the scene. But the pack gets really weird and they're playing dodgeball because... Yeah. Of course they do. There's so much upsetting eye contact through this entire episode, but mostly in this scene. The gym teacher says, God, this game is brutal. I love it.
It's just like typical, like, weird 90s gym teacher, like, sadistic gym teacher trope.
Yep.
Where it's like, why? Like, why? Why? I don't understand. Like, what is it? Is something about, like, Americans have, like, this understanding of phys ed where it's, like, the most... like traumatic and oppressive time, and it's like, if you don't feel that way, maybe like change it.
Right? It doesn't have to be this way. It is because you made it this way. You can change it.
Doesn't make for as good TV, but
right, truly, it's such a good trope. So it's really fucked up. There's just like a lot of aggressive pack dodgeballing.
Yeah,
it's not good.
They turn on Lance.
Right, they turn on Lance because of course they do, and Buffy just watches like it's the most horrifying thing she's ever seen. Because it is messed up, but I'm like, it's also dodgeball.
Yeah, but they're on the same team, that's why it's weird.
Oh, I didn't realize
that. I'm like,
that's
counterproductive.
They're
guys.
Just like... Back in the hallway, Willow confronts Xander, who's a giant dick, and is like... Just says some general bully stuff to her.
Yeah, I wrote, I don't think Xander is actually possessed. I think he's just an asshole, and he's using this as an excuse. He's like, these guys are possessed. I'm going to, like, be my true self. No, this is my, this is my fan theory.
Yes. I actually really like that.
Yeah. And again, like, is Xander the leader? Like, we don't, he seems to be.
I think so. I think he
Which,
is.
How did that happen? I thought Pinocchio was the right leader.
Right. I guess when they had a new member, they were like, oh. This guy's fought vampires.
He's in.
He's tough.
Weird.
Let's do it.
Weird.
So the pack's on the move. They take everybody's food at lunchtime, but they're mad that like the hot dogs are cooked because they're hungry and they need to feed.
Creepy.
Yep. I don't know what happened at this point because my notes really go off the rails. I've just thought like, Herbert, pack montage. So many montages.
Well, they end up like near the pig, I think.
Yeah. I think they've now eyed up Herbert because they're hungry and there's no raw meat anywhere for them to eat.
Yeah.
You know where this is going. They've also set their sights on Buffy for some no good behavior.
Yeah.
Willow's so upset and I hated
Xander's
every second
cool
of it.
Xander's got a cool guy hunch.
Oh, yeah. He's got the hunch. Willow's so sad and it's awful.
Yeah.
Don't make Willow sad.
Yeah, Willow, you're great.
Willow's a sweet baby and she and Buffy are talking about how awful it is and She's like, well, he's not picking on you. He's just sniffing you a lot.
Like, yeah, the sniffing is an issue, too.
Right? Yeah. You should maybe also be more concerned about somebody sniffing you on a regular basis. Buffy refers to the hyena pack as the Dode Patrol.
Yeah.
Which I loved.
Amazing. The Dode Patrol. Right. Which I'm going to bring that back as well.
Oh, I like it. Let's use it. Dode Patrol and Honey.
I don't know how Sarah Michelle Gellar wasn't just like cracking up at all points
right.
when filming this, because she's like, these, nobody talks like this.
It's magnificent.
Nobody has ever talked like this.
Right. They're like, we can make it catch on with you. And she's like, all right. Buffy has, this is like another episode. This is an ongoing theme in this series of like, Buffy has a genuine concern about something. So she goes to Giles and he's like, nah. We're like, no, Buffy's a slayer. Buffy knows bad behavior. Mm-hmm. Buffy knows something up. Let's listen to Buffy. He's like, stupid Buffy, go hit something.
Yeah. And then, because Giles is like, maybe they're just 16-year-old. He's right. just a 16-year-old boy. And I do kind of love that because it's like such a, like a scorching burn.
Oh, 100%. He's like, it's devastating. He's but turned also, into a 16-year-old boy. You'll have to kill him.
Which is hilarious.
Right.
But also, listen to Buffy, man.
Right. The trend of like Giles kind of just like gatekeeping supernatural knowledge.
Yeah.
Like something's very clearly not right here. Just listen to this slayer. She urges him to get your books, look stuff up.
Yeah. Because it goes on like this weird rant about testosterone. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
We didn't need like the body essentialist weird talking points here, but all right.
We just needed to know that something bad was happening. She's like, he scared the pig. He's been weird since the hyenas. And then we get news that Herbert is dead. Not just dead, but he's been eaten.
But yeah,
Giles knows what happened, and he's like, I guess I'm going to go get my books and look stuff up.
Yeah.
Because he knows he was wrong.
Good move.
Nerd, if only you'd done that half an hour ago when this conversation started. And then
come on, Giles. We
really get into like the deeply upsetting content of this episode.
Hmm.
Starts when Principal Flutie, an angel, an icon, confronts the pack.
Oh, yeah, that
because
is.
He knows they ate the pig. I don't know what's happening, but I just have written here, I love it when Buffy reads. Because I do love it when Buffy reads.
I also love it when Buffy reads.
Yes. Doesn't happen very often, but she's like, no one's helping me, so I have to help myself.
I don't remember who it was, but somebody calls hyenas the schmoes of the animal kingdom.
Yes. I've just written, hyenas are bad.
Yeah.
Because they just shit talk hyenas for a while.
Yeah. And they also say that Noah rejected the hyenas.
Yes.
From the Ark. Yes. Because they were like a demon dog cat hybrid. And I was like, I missed that part of the Genesis account. But maybe.
Right.
I'm pretty sure it's not in there. But
right. I'm like, this is.
It feels apocryphal, but.
Well stated enough that I'm like, I buy it. I won't look this up. I assume it could be true.
I'm into it. I'll right. accept it.
We talk more about animal possession and the general like bastardization of the Messiah people.
Yeah.
That they've committed to.
Yeah,
this episode.
There's more like exoticism and primitivist talk, and it's a little gross.
It's gross. For the context of this episode, they talk about how it's like animal soul switch time, but only the most primal of animals are like chosen.
Yeah.
So the, hyenas.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like there was a way to do that without being
super gross.
Gross and like colonialist. And,
right. You didn't have to bring in a specific group of people for this. Could have just been a thing that happens in the jungle.
Yeah, maybe just hyenas are crazy.
Right? Hyenas are mystical. Because, like, I buy it. They're spooky.
I buy it.
I've seen The Lion King.
Exactly.
I know it happens and it's nothing good.
Yeah.
Those fuckers. So Buffy's like, I have to find Xander because he's just going to get more dangerous.
Yes.
And she, like, looks for where Herbert was. She finds his bone and Xander has just appeared.
Also, the cage is like torn open and I was like, guys, you could have just opened the cage. Right? It would have saved you
it
time.
It probably wasn't locked because Herbert was constantly getting out.
Yeah.
Xander has also been following her. He's trapped her in the room.
Gross.
She tackles him and I was like, Slayer tackle! And he says exactly, I've been waiting for you to jump my bones. I'm like, yeah, you're right. Xander wasn't possessed. Xander was just like, this is an opportunity.
Yeah.
I'm on board with your fan theory.
Yeah.
This
right.
This works. This checks out.
Gross.
Or like to really explain the notes I have for the next scene, which is just Flutie.
Yeah.
No.
Are they going to eat Flutie?
Flutie. Run. They absolutely low grunting.
Are.
No. cuts back and forth from them clearly going to eat Flutie to Buffy and Xander having a scuffle.
Yeah.
He gets super gross and awful, and he's like, what? I thought you liked your men dangerous, dangerous and mean, right? Like Angel. I can be that guy.
Ew.
It's so gross.
Why are they friends with him, honestly? Right? Well, like, I know he's possessed.
Just got mean.
In theory.
Right? But. I like this. Let's go on Reddit.
Yeah.
Let's make this kick off.
Absolutely.
And now I've just got, no, 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 with like 7 exclamation marks. Very, very bad.
Yeah.
Buffy knocks out Xander by throwing a desk at him or something, is how they explained the... Yeah. I feel uncomfortable really outlining what happened, but like Buffy explains it best of Xander tried his best at a felony sexual assault.
Yeah. Which is, yeah.
It was awful.
I did like the exchange between her and Willow, though, when she's like, I hit him, and Willow goes, with what? And she goes, a desk.
Right? Like, that's
great.
Buffy's so traumatized at this point in her life that she's unfazed by anything. She's like, well, I just, you know, whatever was closest.
Yeah.
Also, we do get the scene of Flutie getting eaten.
Oh, yeah, that's gross.
Where it's like, they scratch at him, and it's very clearly not human nails on his face.
Yeah.
And it's awful, and it zooms out as they're eating Flutie to, like, his... headshot that's just on his desk. I'm like, why is it a photo of himself on his desk? Clearly for the effect, but like,
I didn't
what
put that
happened?
Together, but you're right. It's very strange.
Exactly.
It makes no sense. Right? Also, like, there's one point where Buffy's talking about, like, how, like, the whole thing with Xander, and she's like, it isn't exactly like putting on some Yanni and drinking a bottle of Chianti. I was like, Yanni? What teenager was listening to Yanni in 1997?
Deeply, deeply upsetting.
Not me.
Yanni CD and a bottle of Chianti.
I guess I wasn't a teenager yet, but still.
Right? You're like, you watch that and you're 8 and you're like, that's sexy.
Yeah, Yanni.
That's sexy. I don't know what it is. The Nick Miller of it all. I was like, okay.
Can't get enough of that Greek New Age music.
Right? Xander gets locked in the library cage, which they make a lot of use out of this library cage. I feel like it's a lot of constant repair as well.
You'd think they would reinforce it.
Right? We learn that
whatever.
We learn that Flutie is indeed dead. They ate him. Okay, we need to fix this. How do we fix it?
Creepy zookeeper.
I think they've established that the zookeeper is a person of interest at this point. Mm-hmm. We're like, we don't know what he's up to, but we know
he knows more than he's saying.
Exactly, which is never good. Oh yeah, they've established the ritual needs a predatory act. Like, you mean throwing a kid into a pack of hyenas?
For instance.
Right? Imagine. So, Willow has volunteered herself to watch Xander while they go find the zookeeper. Which, like, that seems great.
Yeah.
She's definitely not emotionally too close to this.
Mm-hmm. Also, what are you going to do, Willow?
Right. Willow's a soft baby. Even Giles can, like, fight a little bit. Really, Willow hasn't fought at this point.
Yeah. I mean, later on, sure, but not
yet. Oh, yeah. Not yet. The pack is just asleep outside on the grass.
Which, weird.
Yep.
But, all right.
There's a woman and a baby, and it's just awful.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, no. Run, lady.
Right. Run. Run with your baby. Xander's awake, and he's just gaslighting her, and it's awful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
fuck Xander is what I wrote.
Right? Just like there's a lot of like blaming Buffy for all the bad stuff that's in their lives. I'm like, Buffy's protecting you from the bad stuff in your lives, but okay.
Sure.
You'd be dead by now for sure. He like almost convinces her to unlock the cage and she just like shows him the key as bait
because
Willow's sharper than we give her credit for and just snatches it away and she's like, fuck you. I'm smart. Was the vibe.
That was the vibe, yeah. She didn't use those words, but...
It's great. So they found the zookeeper. He's very upset. He's been looking into the hyenas. He's established what's happened. Giles is so excited that he's, like, listing references and stuff. He's like, do you have these books? I'd love to take a look at them. Buffy's like, oh my god, dude, the point.
We are on a time crunch.
Right? This isn't good. This is not time to bond with this dangerous man.
Yeah.
Zookeeper offers to help them. He's like, you just need to get one of the pack members because they will find each other, which checks out.
Sure.
Willow's in danger
because
we've established now that if one of the pack members has been isolated, they'll find the pack member. So Willow's alone.
Shit, Willow,
right,
you need
now
to get out of there.
And
Pinocchio
she's just,
is coming.
Right? She's just in the library watching hyena video. I'm like, also,
which God love her.
Right? What early YouTube was she finding these on? When it was like her computer was operating on MS-DOS and she's just on her computer watching hyenas eat stuff.
It was like when they first like digitized like Encyclopedia Britannica and stuff like that.
Exactly.
And you could like search.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff. But it was like literal software. Like it wasn't on the internet. Right. You had to like.
You had to flip through all the pages and find it. So then the hyenas appear outside and they're singing her name as we were warned they would. Yeah, and then they break the windows down. Break the windows. They run in. Instead of like, you know, going through the door, they're like, glass, break, smash. Mm-hmm. They tear the cage apart. I'm like, what is their superhuman strength at this point that they can bend metal to their will?
Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
Because they do it many times in the episode.
They do.
Right? And it's like, at first, it was kind of explained where they're like, yeah, like, the longer this goes on, their power is stronger. I'm like, they did this instantly with the pig cage.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what happened here?
Yeah. Yeah.
Willow hides. They find her instantly.
Yeah, because she doesn't hide very well.
No. Right? And they, like, try to lull her out, and they're like, oh, like, no, like, definitely not in here, burp. But, like, Xander is waiting for her to reveal herself.
Yeah. Also, like, why were they making monkey sounds? I know they're supposed to be hyena sounds, but they were definitely monkey sounds.
Yes. You know when you, like, work really hard at doing, like, a sound or action, and then you're like, cool, I got this, I'm comfortable, and then it just devolves instantly?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's what was happening with this pack of actors.
Yeah.
They're like, animal sounds.
Got it. Yeah. Chimpanzee, hyena, same thing.
Right.
I got it. Don't worry about it. Back off. I got it.
Right. They're like, oh, it's more like a no. just in time, Buffy appears with a fire extinguisher and like hits Xander over the head. Her makeup is so good this entire episode.
Mm-hmm.
She looks wonderful despite the fact that
she's chasing down hyenas.
Right.
And everyone else is so incompetent.
So incompetent.
She's like, do I have to do everything myself?
Like, God damn it.
Yeah, kind of. That's kind of the point of the show, actually. But
exactly. She points out the hyenas are tough, but they're getting stupider like the longer the spell goes. Now I've just got like, cool, they're going to eat a family. They descend on a minivan. And they're like, there's at least three people in there. Let's get into it.
And it's like this weird, like dysfunctional family.
Oh,
and like playing out these like gross gender dynamics.
Right.
Like, he's accusing her of being jealous and she's kind of jealous and the kid is being a weirdo and like I'm just like
the kid's not
chewing. I'm so like none of these they're so like one-dimensional flat characters.
Oh yeah,
like the
like,
extras
fine,
in the
them.
Show absolutely no depth to them,
right? You're like, eat them, it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine,
care.
Who cares?
Like human morality aside, we don't give a fuck. Buffy's just on it with the timely rescues this episode where
absolutely.
She's like, there's a dumb fight scene with the van.
Mm-hmm.
She throws down some of her classic teen dialogue.
And she does like a weird power pose on top of the vehicle.
In the first few episodes, she's very much just like Sailor Moon.
Yeah.
The entire
I'm like,
time.
Why are you putting your hands on your hips right now?
Right?
What is happening?
She does like a.
Yeah, exactly.
It's incredible. It's so weird. She leads them away to the hyena house. Giles and Willow have gotten to the zoo and they're like, where's the zookeeper? We thought he'd be outside. Giles, you go in and look. I'll stay here and keep watch. I'm like, stop separating.
Honestly.
Stay together. Yeah. Giles finds a zookeeper, to which I've just written, oh, great.
Yeah, I wrote, oh, shit, he's a bad guy.
Yeah. He's got his full ceremonial face paint.
Yeah, which I have my doubts about how accurate it
yep.
is, but okay.
He also just definitely strikes me as a kind of, like, creepy predatory white man who, like, vacations in Thailand by himself on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Because he's got definitely just, like, a kimono on as well.
Yeah.
And we're like, this is never a good thing to walk into. Giles very quickly connects the dots of, like, oh, you've painted the sacred circle for the ritual. Great. Wait, this would have already been here if these kids were able to accidentally perform this ritual. Uh-oh.
This is not a complicated ritual also.
Right. He also, Giles immediately, right? I'm like, it's not complicated. Why was it hard for him to do?
Yeah, honestly.
Because Giles just goes in right away with like, he's like, I'm going to play bad cop. He's like, you must have been so frustrated like that this group of school children could complete this ritual and you couldn't figure it out, nerd. He's going to have his possession, though, and he knocks out Giles instantly. I'm like, Giles, be more alert. You're a watcher.
Like, Giles is like, I figured it out, but it doesn't matter because I'm still going to get knocked out.
I appreciate that they assigned Giles the damsel in distress for most of the series.
Yeah, I like that, too.
I'm like, I'm not going to give Joss Whedon any credit, but, like, they flipped that gender expectation. Yeah. Now Willow has gone in. And she just doesn't get there fast enough where she's like, oh, where's Giles? Because Giles has been pulled into a room and he was like, he's going to go get supplies or something. And he's like, come here. And like ties her up with leather bondage.
Yeah. And she just lets him. She's like, Willow, okay. You're far too trusting of this white man.
Right.
Wearing like a pseudo tribal.
Right. She's garb. Like, oh, you're going to pretend to slit my throat. Is this act of predatory violence that definitely this spell will be fooled by a prank. Great. Cool. He just starts, quote, screaming in Maasai. I'm like, nope. He's just screaming in gibberish, right? Mm-hmm.
I assume so. Yeah.
Yep. I think I blocked out most of what happened. I just wrote, Xander, Buffy. Buffy just appears a lot in this episode.
Yeah, she just...
Buffy's everywhere. Buffy's got some rollerblades. Like she's
it's weird because she like really just plays the role of like the Deus Ex Machina, like where she just shows up to save the day and really is like does. Has nothing to do with the rest of the plot. She's just there to save everyone.
Right. There's many episodes in the first season where like she doesn't need to be there.
Yeah.
She has nothing to do with the storyline. She's just
it's really funny.
She's doing it. It's very funny. The hyenas eat the zookeeper.
Yeah.
I guess.
Well,
the
zookeeper ends up like getting the spirits, like they transfer into him, and then I just wrote kill that fuck.
Exact. And they killed that fuck.
And they killed that
they pushed
fuck.
Him in the hyena cage and those animatronic hyenas the
massive animatronic hyenas ate him.
It's incredible.
And they were very hungry, so
right. Giles wakes up at this point. He's like, did I miss anything? Yeah, bruh.
Yeah, man,
you missed everything.
You got knocked the fuck out by an evil colonizer.
Right. So let me hit the wrap. God, truly, we have the wrap-up scene, which is like weird and uncomfortable for such a high-stakes episode. Suddenly it's like real chill and they're like, let's have a quick wrap-up just in case you missed it. And Giles is or Xander's like, so what else did I do when I was under the influence?
Yeah.
Also, Buffy has the most insane outfit on for this last scene. It's only 20 seconds.
which is a
black toque, a black graphic teacher with just like a picture of a lady on it and a frog button pink silk mini skirt.
It's truly something.
It's buck wild. And they're just like, oh, not much else. LOL. We don't have to talk about it. It's fine. He's like, I don't remember anything. What else happened? Everybody makes up. It's fine. They walk away and they're like, LOL, Xander. Trying to be a sex offender, ha 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 ha. Giles pops up and he's like, hey man, been looking into this hyena possession a little more and there's no account of memory loss. And he's like, but there's like a very weird sitcom-y closing moment on it where they're like, I expected it like a da 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 na na theme to play while they like
they just all agreed to just not talk about it,
right? Giles is okay. Like, lol, you silly goose, you have to live with what you did.
And then like for some reason, like these four teenagers murdered and ate the principal and they just like don't bring it up anymore.
Yeah.
They're just like, it's fine. We'll just get a new principal.
Right.
Like, what the fuck? Why are there not police swarming those buildings?
Right. Oh, yeah. There's a discussion of like, I guess we have to find a new principal now. Shouldn't be hard unless they ask what happened to the last principal. Like,
yeah. Well, maybe investigate the the death of the last one. It's very bizarre.
Yeah. Also, what happens to those four kids? Are they like,
yeah,
they're taken just away? Are they still there? We don't see them again.
No, he becomes Pinocchio.
Like, oh, it's true. He goes off into the forest. He finds his own way. I haven't seen Once Upon a Time, but I'm assuming that's how it goes.
It's very wild. It's great.
I tried. It's one of those shows, I think, very much like Buffy, where you have to give it a sec.
Oh, yeah,
or
I would say so.
Or at least commit to the madness.
Yeah. The first season's like, I thought it was interesting, but it's a little slow. And then after that, it just is like just batshit.
Right. What is this show? What was this episode?
This, oh man. Them hyenas.
Them hyenas. Like, here's the thing. I understand why you were traumatized by this episode. As an adult, I'm also a little traumatized by this episode. Sure. There was a point where I was like, probably gonna have to put a trigger warning on this, but like, we couldn't bring ourselves to really discuss the like murder and sexual assault scenes. We're like, it's probably fine. Like, but I still kind of love it, even though it's so weird and awful.
There's something about it, but it's all, and I mean, like, I guess to its credit, like, nothing is like super graphic or anything.
No,
like, there's not like super gory or like super.
But I think that also speaks to the power of this very weird episode, where like nothing's particularly, like, you don't see a lot of the violence that's insinuated, but it still has the deep effect of it.
Sure, yeah,
it's impressive. We're like, it's a nonsense episode. This didn't need to exist, but like, it's really good.
Yeah. It's there. It's something.
As an adult, what do you think of it overall?
Honestly, it's mostly what I remember. Like, it's it, like, holds up the same, I suppose, in that sense. It's like, I mean, obviously there's some pretty dated stuff.
Yeah.
As with all of this, this whole show, but
right. The weird things where Buffy aged really well, but every once in a while you're like, no!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's, I hesitate to call it a fun episode, but it kind of is.
It's pretty
in
fun.
A sense, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's such a, this episode is very much like this podcast, where it's such a clusterfuck that you're like, this is fun.
What is happening? I'm having a good time, right? But I don't know what's going on.
I don't know how I ended up here. I don't know why I stayed, but I'm sure enjoying myself.
Yeah. It was a good time. It's, it's 4.5 vampire teeth out of 5.
Ooh. I give this.
Is that a good rating system?
I like it. I give it 5.5 glamour shots of Flutie on Flutie's desk out of 10. I would have given it 7, but I took it down a few points for the colonist violent overtones.
Obviously
I was going to give it a 7, and I was like, no, that feels too strong for something that was so deeply insensitive and uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a time.
What a time.
Thank you for revisiting this absolute nonsense with me.
Of course.
Thank
you for having me.
Anytime.
It was fun.
I'm glad. Right, we're like confronting some trauma today. Yeah. If people want to find you on the internets, where should they look for you?
Well, I don't know if you know this.
Ooh.
But I do have a podcast with a couple really great friends.
It's true.
On this very network. Also, you're in it. On it. So if you want to listen to us talk about something very, very different, you can hear us at, on the Sainted Love podcast. Basically, anywhere you can get your podcast, you should be able to find us. They can also find me on Twitter and on that other thing, Instagram.
Yes.
At Twitch Nick.
Yes.
I don't post anything super enlightening there, but
I would like to point out that Nick's Twitter feed is gold.
Thank you.
I follow like 3 people on Twitter, so I just frequently get yours as notifications. My favorite recently was me. A person's sexuality is no one's business but their own. Also me. Do you think those two guys are banging? So like that and
a literal thought that happened to me earlier.
I can hear it in your voice because I feel like you've said that paraphrase to me so many times. That and other such gold on Nick's Twitter, which is updated regularly.
So you can find me there too.
Right. Always fun. Would recommend. 10 out of 10 glamour shots of Flutie.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
The highest of compliments.
Truly. As always, you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at BuffWildPod. You can also email us if you have thoughts, questions, concerns, which, like, wouldn't blame you if you did.
Yeah. I've got concerns.
I also have concerns, and this is my podcast. You can email us at BuffWildPod@gmail.com. If you are not sure where to listen to us and you just, like all your stuff in one tidy package, you can find our Linktree. It is Linktree.com/BuffWildPod. It has places you can listen to it, all of our social media. It also has our buy me a coffee button if you're like,
neat,
these two were fun, I can't afford to send Nick to therapy, but like, let's buy him a coffee. You can donate like $3 and Nick will have a coffee. Which we always appreciate. But yeah, I will see y'all next week. Nick and I will do more podcasts outside of this one.
We will.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us. This was chaos.
Absolutely. It was fun. Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Goodbye.
Bye.